This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are YouTubers are in an absolute meltdown. We'll talk about that. Next thing up is Uber worthy. So with some of the shenanigans they've been pulling. Going to talk about the Tesla Model 3, or actually, we're going to show you the Tesla Model 3. We're going to talk about Facebook doing some fact-checking on news stories. And we're going to talk a little bit about, is media independent? Independent media still really independent? Of course, all of the tech news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1191 of the Geek News Central podcast for, what is this? This is Thursday, April 6th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or just PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners that are joining us for the very, very first time. I want to thank you for being here and thank you for your courage to check the show out. This podcast is produced twice weekly every Monday and Friday, or actually released every Tuesday and Friday, but it's recorded every Monday and Thursday. And it originates over at geeknewscentral.com. We want you to get over to the website and subscribe to the show. That way you're guaranteed never to miss a single episode, either via iTunes, Android, by email, Google Play, and Stitcher, TuneIn, or just a standard RSS feed and you have no idea what I'm talking about. Just click on the more subscribe options on the website. And essentially, we're going to show you how to subscribe to a podcast. Also, a little bit further down the page, you can get subscribed to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today. That way, you get an email immediately following the show with a link to really all of the content that is going to be talked about during today's show. So we want you to make sure that you get connected there. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews as well. Of course, a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the Ohana. Thank you for your ongoing support. It is absolutely greatly appreciated, and I am humbled by your listening ear or listening time or watching time, whatever it may be. Of course, again, if you are part of the Ohana and you want to just kind of join the Slack chat channel, send me an email, let me know. I do the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku or Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry.com, or tell the Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. That'll get it going. Of course, our partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site, written by my wonderful team at Geek News Central. Of course, we don't want to forget, the writing team also takes care of a huge amount of content on Geek News Central. An article that's gotten just a major explosion of traffic is one that was put up by Andrew talking about Google's round icons being rubbish. And that has gotten some traction. So for those of you that are Android users, you may be interested in taking a check that out. And of course, all the other articles on the website as well. As we're getting closer to NAB, there will be a lot more content on the ProGear.Guru site. That's where a lot of the announcements we're going to be putting up will be there. Of course, this show would not be possible without our sponsor. And we want to thank the longest running continuous sponsor of any podcast in the universe. And that would be GoDaddy.com, sponsoring this show, Geek News Central. We did get our March numbers. So we made goal. I'm very, very pleased with that. Thank you very much for your support and utilization and sharing of the promotion codes that are available for you to use. And of course, you can find all those codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. About ready to introduce some new discussion points about some products that we have. But in the meantime, I want you to get over to the website. When you're over there, check out all the codes that are available, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, 99cent.com, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting, which includes a free domain for the first year, or $1 a month to manage WordPress hosting for the first year, which also includes a free domain. And for you business owners out there, a one month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. So definitely check all those links up at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to use the code, share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. But again, big, big thanks to all of you that took advantage of a code in March. And we hope for your support continued here into April. So really, all you got to do again is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You guys are going to fall over in shock. But I actually got to talk to some folks this week for the assistant position. And had a couple of really good conversations with some folks out there, and several people that are listeners of the show. But one individual really kind of stuck out. I shouldn't even say the word stuck out. One person showed a lot more passion about wanting to get more involved in the space, learn what it takes to do the show, assist in any way that the individual can. So I'm really looking forward to working with Kirk. Those of you, Kirk is a longtime listener of the show, and I don't want to announce his last name unless he was okay with me doing that. But Kirk is out on the East Coast. He's in New Jersey. And we talked about, you know, what I was looking for, and basically to assist with booking and to help with show prep and a variety of things. So I look forward to, and Kirk is finding this out right now on the show. I did not email him and say, you got the spot. I wanted to share it on the show so that he could hear it. And I'll be working with him probably over the weekend to get him set up so that he can, you know, basically start fulfilling the role and working his way into the assistant position. So I'm really excited. And I think we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to come up with some sort of title. Assistant really isn't the, this is a podcast, for gosh sake. So it has to be some sort of production name, like production assistant or some sort of producer. I haven't quite thought about that yet, to be honest with you. So, but I am going to come up with, you know, we're going to have some sort of title for Kirk. So we can basically, we want him to be able to carry that on his masthead, you know, maybe executive producer or something like that. And, something cool or associate producer. I'm not sure. We'll have to be kind of, maybe they'd be associate producer for the first 6 months and then move into executive producer. That way he can have both titles on his resume. I don't know. We'll have to go there, but, he is going to be helping me, produce the show. So I'm really, really excited to bring him on, and we've got to make some changes as far as where all my, because what I use Feedly and about 800 different sites for syndicating news that I go through to, you know, come up with this show. And I'm going to have to change some of that over so both him and I will have access to a single account. And anyway, we'll get that all figured out over the next few days, and then we'll see what happens on Monday. And again, I'm not like walking away from the production of the show, not in the least. But Kirk is going to be able to help me kind of get a kickstart to things that he thinks might be cool to share to the audience. And then I'll go through and do my own scan as well and find stuff and get it prepped and get it ready. At some point down the road, might even be able to do some remote access to the desktop and actually let him set up the browser and everything. We got a lot of work to do. We're going to take baby steps at this point. But the main thing is if anything I can do to offload some of my total administrative weight, it'll be wonderful. And we're going to get Podcast Legends back on track. That'll probably be the first task, to get some guests booked and to work around my crazy, insane schedule. So I'm looking forward to that. So again, congratulations to Kirk, who's going to be an assistant here on the show. and helping out with really everything that goes into the production of this podcast. So this is a big step here for us, folks. It's been a long, long, long time coming, and your guys' support of the sponsor definitely, you know, pays for the writing team. This is going to help pay for Kirk's, you know, income as well, and what I'm going to be paying him. And then the, of course, what we're, you know, with those of you that are supporting the show is insiders as well. It all really kind of makes things happen. So I want to thank all of you for your ongoing long time support here of the show as we kind of continue to move forward and take this thing, I hope, really to the next level. I do have to say one thing about taxes. You know, the only thing about taxes is that is good is when you die, you don't have to pay them no more. Someone has to settle your estate and has to deal with it, but taxes just suck. And my, Chris, I got two kids in college, and, you know, my accountant says, hey, where's your 1098-Ts? You need to send me those. I'm ready to, you know, finish this thing up. Where's your 1098-Ts? And I slap myself in the forehead. And for those of you that have kids in school, it's the tuition form. So I asked my son, where's your T? And, you know, and he went online and got it and asked my daughter, where's yours? And she sent me hers, and hers was, had everything in it, but it was blank. It had no dollar amount. And I'm like, honey, something's wrong. You've been paying tuition. We've been paying tuition this year, right? And she says, yeah. And I'm like, how come this is zero? And I'm looking at the clock. This is the sixth, you know, we got 9 days here before the hammer comes down. So I'm sending her off to the financial office tomorrow to find out what in the world is, why is her 1088-T wrong, so I can get the accountant off my back, so I can get my taxes in and do my civic duty and make sure Uncle Sam has every dime that, you know, he drags out of my pocket. But it sucks. I hate tax time. Now, someone in this audience is very good to me. And you have been very crafty up until this point in sending me liquor. All right, so around every Christmas, one of you out there sends me a Macallan 12. And I've had some indications over the past where this liquor has come from. And of course, I like Macallan 12. It's about $50, so I'm very appreciative when I send that. But lo and behold, FedEx arrives, and I got a package, and I see a name on it. I'm like, very interesting. Tony, you need to email the show, because I looked through geeknews@gmail.com and then the show notes, and I don't find a Tony in the recent past. But Tony, I know where you live now. But Tony sent me a Balvenie 17. And for those of you that drink scotch, that's about $130 value bottle of scotch. So Tony, it made it perfectly fine. It came through, and I loved the little care package you sent around with it, and in a couple of glasses that you sent. It was fantastic. So I appreciate the Balvenie 17. Matter of fact, for those of you that can look, it's right back there on the, those of you who are watching, it's on the shelf back there already. I have not popped the top, but I will be partaking tomorrow. Three ice cubes, and we'll try it neat first. We'll see how it tastes there. Then I'm usually like a little chilled. So, but a 17, I'm going to have to, This is like precious gold. Now, Tony, if you really want to impress me, the Balvenie 30, now that's a bottle, all right? Now, I know that Balvenie 30 only costs $1,100. You know, that's, I'm, you know, a man of your taste. Even if you want to buy a bottle yourself, open it and just pour me like a little sniffer full and seal it and mail it, that would be cool too. But no, I'm very, very happy. Thank you so much for the bottle of liquor. That is, he's, and you know, someone knows I've been stressed out, so I appreciate the donation and liquor. that's the best. Well, it looks like live stream has crashed, and I wonder if it's because I have my son is watching a movie. Let's see, is YouTube staying up? Yeah, YouTube is good. So we'll delete that one. So we won't be on live stream tonight. But again, thanks for the bottle of booze. The big rumors coming out of Apple. Apple brought in, really not even rumors. Apple brought in, and again, Tony, awesome. over on, there was Mac, Apple brought in just a handful of Mac writers. Obviously, I wasn't invited. Shame on them, Apple. You should have brought me in there too. But they set them in and they talked about the upcoming and under development Mac Pro replacement. Apple's never done this before. They have never brought in bloggers and people that cover the space to tell them a great amount of detail about what's going to happen within the next version of Mac Pro. And I think what it is I think they didn't say it, but Apple is, I think, a little bit in damage control. They did not really consider their pro users in the latest rounds. Now, they did an upgrade to the hardware a little bit on the trash can, and I like to call it the trash can because that's what it looks like. And, of course, we know the MacBook Pros really did not get the bump that we were expecting, and we didn't go to the i7 chip. So they basically said that they have really, they're going back and they're making a Mac Pro that's upgradable, that will last many years, will be able to be updated, going to a more modular design. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Really? So, you know, I've got plenty of life in my current Mac Pro that I bought in 2015. And you guys all know the story about that. Those of you that have been around for a while, my 2009 Mac Pro or whatever it was, 2000, no, it ain't 2000, whatever year was before, it died on me unexpectedly. Then it worked and then it died. But I had to buy the, you know, I had to spend $7,000 unexpectedly. It was not a good time to have that go down, but the show must go on, right? Stuff like that happens. So I'm not going to be able to partake in 2018 when this new box comes out because really, I'm just to be honest with you, when you spend that kind of money on a machine, you run it until the wheels fall off. You run it to it's not viable anymore. And, you know, right now I do an hour and 15 minutes worth of show and I do the post-processing on the audio and do a little work with the video, chopping the ends, and 17 minutes later, I have an MP4 file that is ready to be uploaded to Blueberry for the host of the media. And so I can't write the show notes that fast. And there's really no, at this point, no advantage for me in what I'm using the Mac Pro for to even consider an upgrade. Now, the only time I would consider upgrade if something failed, but I bought AppleCare, so I'm still good for a little bit on AppleCare with that machine, at least until sometime in 3 years worth of AppleCare. So anyway, long story short, but those of you that have been waiting, there's two things that apparently the iMac is, they're going to have an iMac that's going to be like, whoa. And the next update apparently to the MacBook Pro is going to be a big jump. According to this, all this stuff is being discussed. And then the actual Mac Pro machine themselves, and they're designing a whole brand new monitor. It's 4K, and I'm sure it's going to be ungodly expensive. But for those of you that do pro work, you can't wait for 2018 to come. So you've got a year. You got to wait. They're telling you something's coming. So I'm curious in this audience, how many of you are running on hardware that you want to upgrade, but you've been holding off because Apple really kind of thumbed their nose at you? And, you know, I've always said, sometimes thinner and smaller is not always better. You know, I'm willing to have a little heavier, a little thicker machine, a little bit noisier machine. And that's not Apple's DNA to be a monster, you know, to really be a monster. And matter of fact, there's a machine that I'm going to make available for sale soon that I'm going to sell because I just wasn't happy enough with it. And it's a monster machine, but a Windows-based machine that just hasn't served me real well. And that's, of course, I'm not going to be able to sell it to any of you, but I'm going to put it on Craigslist probably. That's probably where I'll put it and try to sell it here in Hawaii. It works fine, but it's just not the machine that I thought it was going to be, an Alienware machine. So anyway, I'm excited on the MacBook Pro side as well. So we'll see what happens with this. But anyway, that was probably the most exciting news coming out of Apple this week. Also, I want to show you guys, but I can't. The new podcast awards site is about 90% ready. At least to get us through, there's still some code that they've got to write. But I will say this, this is something new for me. And I'm telling something I am not telling anyone else. The back end of the new podcast award site is running on Joomla. And I used Joomla years ago. I mean, many, many, many years ago. The original techpodcast.com site run on Joomla. Actually, Joomla's predecessor, which was, what was the one before Joomla? Before it forked? But anyway, wow, what a change. And I'll be honest, it's still kind of unwieldy. But for the modules and what we want to do and the support on the back end to be able to do what I outlined in my goal sheet for the new podcast awards site, everything's coming together beautifully. And I like the flexibility of what it offers me. And I'm really excited about the functionality of the website and how everything's going to be staged. And the rules have been completely rewritten. I'm having them copy edited now to make sure that, you know, 3, 4, 5 people read it to make sure it makes sense and that we get rid of all the spelling errors that I'm prone to make. But I'm really excited about the whole new revitalization. And this hasn't come cheap, not cheap at all, in the dev of this. We're going to be well over $5,000 in dev cost on this new site. So, and we're probably in about 65% of what really needs to be done to get it to where it's perfect. So, but we only have so many funds this year. We'll roll some of it into next year, but we'll be able to get the words off and done and accomplished with a little more work than I wanted to do, but it'll be really close. And still, from everything that's been designed so far, radical change to how we're going to process everything. It's going to be much easier to accomplish many of the tasks, and again, a complete rules rewrite, a whole new system, working with a couple of other podcasters to make sure that it's going to really be the premier event that it once was. And we'll give every podcaster that an equal opportunity to really win an award. So I'm really excited about being able to show it off and announce it. And but anyway, that's enough. We'll get into the regular content tonight. I do have some concerns, specifically about Uber. Uber continues to news reports, lawsuits, driver stuff, all kinds of crazy happenings over there is not good for Uber. It's not good for the consumers of Uber. Some of the stuff that they've been doing and what they're alleged doing, and let me be careful when I say this, alleged doing, pisses me off. And I probably, you know, on an annual basis, because I just use it when I'm on travel for business, or if like my wife and I decide we're going to go out someplace and we're going to have a few cocktails, we'll take an Uber if we can get one out here. Sometimes we have to take a regular taxi. But Uber is said to have used sophisticated software to defraud drivers and passengers. This is a lawsuit. This scheme, which manipulates navigation data. Now, again, this is being reported by Ars Technica. I have no way to validate this, but if it's true, or the even assumption or accusation that it's true, is enough to make me stop using Uber. I'll be going to Lyft as a, and I've already decided to do that, to go to Lyft as a primary transportation vehicle when I'm on travel. But this scheme manipulates navigation data used to determine upfront rider fare prices, which secretly shortchanging the driver, according to a proposed class action lawsuit against the ride-hailing app. When a rider uses Uber to hail a ride, the fare app immediately shows to the passenger the fare the app immediately shows to the passenger is based on a slower and longer route compared to the one displayed to the driver. The software displays a quicker, shorter route for the driver, but the rider pays the higher fee and the driver commission is paid from a cheaper, faster route. Now, I've used Uber a lot and I don't remember ever seeing the route being shown to me when I request the ride. I don't ever remember seeing that. But if it's using that in the back end to calculate a higher fare for me, and then when I get in the car, it, of course, you start the route, you can see in your app, you know, where the driver's supposed to go. And they, in 9.9 out of 10 times, they follow that route unless something's kind of squirrely and they'll ask permission to go off route. If they're doing this and they're keeping the delta, a few bucks per ride is millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that Uber has potentially and allegedly defrauded the drivers from and overcharged riders. If this is the case, if they've deliberately manipulated the navigation data used in determining the fare amounts, this is simply incredible. Simply incredible. And all the other stuff that's been announced already and all these little software tools they have and things that they do should make every one of us that use Uber go, You know, they may be the big boys on the street, but you know what happens to big boys? They get chopped down. The bigger they are, the easier they fall. And again, this is alleged in a proposed class action lawsuit, but this is big. If this turns out to be the truth. And this is, they've got unemployment rights, they've got sex discrimination going on, they got trade secret theft going on. It's not good. So officially, on my next trip to Vegas, I will primarily be using Lyft. Matter of fact, I found getting Lyft where I stay downtown is often easier than getting a ride on Uber. So those of you that are Uber drivers out there, just let you know, maybe it's time to look at Lyft, all right? All right, so how many of you put $1,000 down for the Tesla Model 3? You've seen some far distance pictures of the car, but we've got them for you. We've got the juice. We've got the Model 3. Driving around, you're not supposed to see this, but here it is in all of its glory. Over at Jalopnik, JALOPNIK.com, they've got the juice here. They've got these pictures of the vehicle, and this is a look of the vehicle that those of you that put $1,000 down are going to be getting. 215 miles. It kind of looks like the BMW don't know, what series is that? I don't know. It kind of looks like a Beamer almost. So, oh, they've actually got a Beamer in the picture here. What is, it looks like a BM, that, is that the, I don't know. They say it's being benchmarked against the BMW 3 Series. So, pretty exciting stuff here for those of you that are looking forward to getting a Model 3 and putting $1,000 down. Very, very cool. Good to be able to see one up close soon. Tesla also made a comment that their flagship vehicle is the Model S. And I'm just like, why would anyone, you know, of course there's going to be a big difference between a $120,000 vehicle starting and a $35,000 vehicle. You would expect a lot of differences. You'd expect, you know, not as nice wheels, not a nice interior, you know, all the stuff that you would think would be, you know, and if there's, you know, there's no comparison in price, right? So, but Uber, Tesla basically says, nope, you know, the Model 3 is not the flagship vehicle. But for a lot of you, it's going to be your flagship vehicle. And, but the Tesla Model 3 will only have a center screen, which will be interesting for drivers as well. And with no speedometer in the middle or anything. So I wonder how many of you are going to end up with tickets because you didn't realize you're over the speed limit. As I talked about in the very beginning of the show, Facebook may pay fact-checking organizations to flag fake news. They say they're open to paying fact-checkers if that's what it takes to fight fake news. Wow. How do you do that? How do you keep a fact-checking organization unbiased? Because there's always biases. If you're going to be using an organization, the fact-checking is only as good as the employees that are hired to do the fact-checking, right? So we will see. But, you know, you still need to be careful out there when you're on Facebook. I saw some stuff today. Of course, we did this strike on Syria. Launched 59 Tomahawk missiles. Of course, you guys know that the Navy actually doesn't pay for those until they use them. So that manufacturer, if you own stock in that company, are going to be owed, I think, $1.2 million a shot. So, you know, close to $70 million, something to that that effect for the attack on Syria today. So, and I saw people, oh, this is going to start a war with the Russians and get in your bunkers. And I'm just like, no, it's not going to start a war with Russia. They're not that stupid. They do things that we all kind of cringe at, but you know, the days of, spooling up and going to DEFCON 1, I think that's long past. At least I would hope. So, don't worry. I think you're safe. All right. But if it's true, and again, I don't want to get political on the show, but if it's true that the Syrians used chemical weapons on their people, if this is not fake news, if this wasn't, there's always the fog of war, but if they got the information right and, I think we can all agree that, using chemical weapons on innocent women and children and civilians that aren't in the fight is never, ever, ever justified. And it's genocide and war is bad enough. But to use chemical weapons, that's a whole different level of bad. Okay. And again, I know many of you don't like it. There's just a lot of bad people out there in the world right now. Sadly, it's the world we live in. I guess we just have to figure out how we're going to deal with it. And I don't, we end up always being the cop. That's just the way the United States is. All right, let's get on a more positive story, and it's really kind of one that's kind of funny. This one was put together by Fusion.net, and they said, what is independent media? Podcasting. This show is independent, completely biased content. I have an opinion. It's my opinion. If you like it, you listen to the show. If you don't like my opinion, don't. And if you don't agree with me all the time, that's great. That's why you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com and say you're wrong. And we can discuss it like adults. We can have a good viable conversation here. My grandfather was a master, absolute master of playing devil's advocate. You know, if you took side A, he would take side B. You were convinced. He believed it through and through. But, you know, in the end, he was actually on side A. But the discussion we would have would be very aggressive, very deep. It would be, you'd make you look at both sides of things. And sometimes I would be mad, but we talked and we discussed it and we, you know, agreed to disagree and whatever it may be. People can't do that anymore. But independent media is not, and those bastions of what you think is truth, you think about Gawker Media, who owns them, you think about, you know, companies like BuzzFeed, you know, Vice, you think of all these folks that were doing amazing things in the early days. And these companies are all now owned by multi-billion, you know, they're owned by mega corporations. They're owned by established media organizations. You know, look at Vice Media, America's most prominent new gonzo news outlet, a wild, interesting effort to interest millennials who don't read established media. Its major investor includes News Corp, Time Warner, and may pursue an IPO after rumored acquisition talks with Disney. Disney owns ESPN. You know, so they're reaching a demographic, but they're owned by established media. BuzzFeed has investors like NBC Universal, the venture capital giant Andreessen Horowitz, Pierre Amidar, the billionaire eBay founder, who funds First Look Media's pledge $100 million to fund journalism and other civic efforts over the next 3 years. These are all folks that have big, big, big bucks, and they're investing in what a lot of folks consider independent media. They're just arms of these major news organizations anymore. So where are the independent, well-known news outlets? I don't think they really exist. Stuff that I cover in this show, I form an opinion of articles that have been written, and I hope that makes you guys have a different perspective and gives you my perspective. But when we're out there reading media, reading different websites, do you really know who owns them? I'll just let you know, Geek News Central is owned by myself and my wife. That who owns Geek News Central. We own Podcast Awards together. That's my wife's and I's property. Blueberry, I'm the CEO of Blueberry, but of Raw Voice, and I am a co-owner with other individuals. And But this show is Watashiwa. It's me. It's mine. And sure, we have a sponsor, but that doesn't hold me back. They've never said anything about any of our content or our discussion points, and I don't hold back either. So there you go. So this is independent media. Podcasting is. Spotify, company that can't do podcasting correctly, is limiting free streaming for its own good. So if you have a Spotify account, it's no secret that labels and artists are not thrilled that their music is available free on ad-supported streaming services. But Spotify is starting to pull some of their tracks, some of their new music, because they don't want any of it available to non-paying customers. You have to pay to get it. You won't get the whole album. You might get a few singles. That's it. So Spotify hasn't disclosed their financial terms with their new licensing agreements with Universal and a variety of other companies. But, you know, Spotify is trying to keep the people that's providing the music happy while at the same time trying to push people towards paying for content while having somewhat of a mediocre free offering. So, you guys use Spotify? What do you think about this? Are you paying for that service? Anyway, I have the link up in the show notes. Your library may be limited if you are, again, getting it for free. All right, the Samsung S8, excuse me, the Galaxy S8, of course, was announced. We talked about it on the last show. But did you know that Samsung is introducing a souped-up version, one that is even more powerful than what they're going to sell here in the United States, and it's a premium? Engadget is saying that China and South Korea are getting a brawnier model with a 6 gigs of RAM. Oh, come, you know, these sites, you see this little thing, unresponsive plug-in, Shockwave Flash may be busy. All right, stop plug-in. Ugh. All right, yes, I don't want to submit a crash report. But anyway, the Samsung is releasing these higher end models, which could cost as much as $1,000 or $1,100 American equivalent for these higher end units that have more RAM and bigger onboard storage. But the only place you'll be able to get them, again, is in China and South Korea. Don't know if they're going to come to the United States or not, but if you're a Samsung Galaxy fan, this is probably going to make you sad. Can't say anything more than that, but that's what Samsung has decided to do. All right. I found this really fascinating. You guys know I'm a big aviation guy. My degree with Emory Riddle is in professional aeronautics. I follow the aviation industry. You know, it's an interesting time when you hear that the aviation industry is discovering Silicon Valley and is now in full migration mode. In other words, they're bringing some of their tech shops or opening tech shops in Silicon Valley. Europe's Airbus, Brazil's Embraer, and if I pronounce that wrong, I'm sorry. JetBlue, Lufthansa has launched direct services between San Jose and Frankfurt, and they're rumored and considering setting up their own innovation outpost. And the reason is clear: is a lot of talent in Silicon Valley, and that airlines are looking to, tech refresh a lot faster. If nothing, you know, one thing you can say about the airline industry, especially their booking systems and their management systems, they get updated as slow as glaciers expand. there are some airlines that have systems that if you were forced to have to use the back end system and you are a modern software designer or user, you would just about scream bloody murder. They are not friendly. Not at all. But so maybe Silicon Valley can help the aviation space out a little bit with some talent. They better get ready to pay for it. Talent is in short supply. It really, really is. Hyperloop One test route is ready to run. And this is pretty cool. So August 2013, Elon Musk, under pressure from Shervin Pisciar, published his white paper on Hyperloop. And just 3 years and 7 months later, the world's first Hyperloop tube is declared ready for testing. It's a dev loop. It's a Nevada test facility that's been finalized to serve as a test bed for the future of transportation. The dev loop is 3.3 meters wide, but the company revealed that dev loop stands at 500 meters long. And There's still a couple issues to stand between its first flight. For instance, that they've got to get the pods electronics to work reliable in low pressure environment. So in other words, yeah, they're basically suck the air out of this thing. And, you know, this thing goes down a vacuum. So very, very cool that they're at that point here with Hyperloop One. And we'll see. Of course, they think that the longstanding belief is somewhere in UAE or Dubai will be the first to build a freighter or passenger Hyperloop in the real world. And because they have lots of dirt, deserts between cities, and they're the ones that are pumping still a lot of oil out of the ground, they can afford to build one of these. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes if you're interested in following what's going on with Hyperloop One. All right, some of the answers that I was looking for have been answered by SpaceX. SpaceX has announced that they have gained substantial cost savings from their reused Falcon 9 launch. They said around 50%, even with extensive testing. And they probably x-rayed every inch of this thing, went over every component with a fine-tooth comb. I bet you they tore it down to parade rest, examined every mount, every bolt, every bracket. I'm sure that they went through this thing with a, you know, with a microscope. And they say that the follow-on ones, they're not going to have to do that as extensive of an inspection. I would imagine what will happen here. SpaceX has spent $1 billion to develop this reusable tech. And by the way, they did recover both of the fairings that they say now cost $6 million. So they did recover two of the fairings that are going to be able to reuse those. So they hope at some point those to have a have that happening on a more regular basis, and even maybe someday go into a second stage recovery, which is even more awesome. But they basically said the cost savings on future launches is going to be huge. Now they got to figure out how much of a discount they're going to give customers for going on a reuse first stage. But they said it's not going to be very much discounted because they have to recover this $1 billion in investment that they made to be able to do this. So, but if you think about this, the fairings, you know, that they recovered at $6 million. Okay, these are just some fairings. They're not even like the complex stuff that goes into the first stage. If those were $6 million, as Elon Musk said, would you, if you had a pallet of $6 million floating through the air, would you not try to recover that at all costs? And I think all of us would say, yeah. So if you have two fairings that are $3 million apiece, you can understand their mindset here of trying to recover this stuff. So they're saying that they want to be able to have, they feel that if they're successful, is that they'll be able to recycle these stages for at least 1,000 launches. That's, to me, like 1,000. That is being very aggressive. I think if they achieve 100 without blowing one up, they'll be pretty pretty successful. But 1,000 launches on a single stage, there's a lot of stresses. I'm just metal fatigue. I would be shocked if they were able to get 1,000 launches out of a first stage. Matter of fact, I would be flabbergasted. But if they've invested as much into the tech and the design of the first stage to make it reusable as they say it is, and want to be able to do a 24-hour turn, whoa, that's big. That's really, really big. So I'm glad they kind of announced that, because I was real curious what the delta was. And if they're able to not do as heavy inspections on the next stages, so let's say they are 75% cheaper. That's getting into huge money real quick. And they'll be able to recoup $1 billion, you know, very, very fast at 10, 20, $30 million a pop. You know, it obviously it takes, a number of launches to recover that. But they're so far ahead in their tech and everything. It's pretty cool. All right, Jupiter right now is at opposition. Those of you listening to this show today on the 7th, those of you listening as well, those of you listening live, not right now, but tomorrow on the 7th, Jupiter will be at opposition. So the sun is behind us, and Jupiter is, if you want to use the analogy, the sun is behind you and Jupiter's in front of us. So you're going to be able to see Jupiter easily in the sky, even with a very low power telescope or even a nice set of binoculars. You'll be able maybe even to see some of Jupiter's moons. So very, very cool stuff. Again, it's at the closest point of approach tomorrow, the 7th of April. So might be, if you have clear skies, might be nice to go out about 9 p.m. Eastern. It would be a good time to take a peek, and it'll be up all night. You'll be able to see Jupiter all evening. It's not going to set early. All right. Also, kind of exciting here. Many of us, for many years, traveled to locations where you could go see a full solar eclipse. Well, technology has gotten to the point now where students from 57 students will send 57 cameras up by weather balloon to monitor the 2017 total solar eclipse on August 21st. And they're going to live stream from coast to coast in a collaboration with NASA. So this is smart. But if you live, there's a swath of the United States that will get the full solar eclipse. But they're going to put this right down the throat. And they're going to have these balloons as high as 100,000 feet. And so it should be an incredible live stream if they can pull it off. Now, I don't know how they're going to keep the cameras oriented. Maybe that's why they're going to have so many on a balloon. But they're going to do a video live stream of this. So this is very, very exciting for this eclipse on August 21st. We'll be able to see it no matter where you're at. Are you gamers out there? Boy, people are just absolutely flipping out today because there is a report out about the next Xbox called Project Scorpio. Later this year, they are going to be able to achieve something incredible with this new Xbox. It's going to be true 4K. It's 60 frames per second. They build a special GPU around it. It's going to have an 8 custom x86 core clocked at 2.3 gigs. There's going to be 40 customized compute units at 1,172 megahertz. Memory bandwidth at 326 gigs per second. And again, 4K capability at 60 frames. And the folks that have seen the pre-release, basically the test versions of this, they say this thing is just simply incredible. So prepare for battle. The Xbox with Project Scorpio will be coming to a store near you soon where you can spend your hard-earned dollars. Zunum, Z-U-N-U-M, Aero hybrid airplanes could have the cost of U.S. flights. Boeing and JetBlue backed a little-known company called Zunum Aero, and for good reason, the startup is 3 years into a development of a small plane powered by hybrid, Jack, listen to this, powered by hybrid electric propulsion, which it says can pave the way to a golden era of fast and affordable electric air travel. Zunum planes promise to make local flights a more feasible alternative to traveling by car or high speed. Now, this isn't for long haul. The 10 to 50-seater aircraft will cut travel time by 40 to 80%. So if you're flying from Silicon Valley to L.A., it'll only take about 2.5 hours instead of 5. That's driving. But it won't fly as fast, obviously, than jets. So definitely, I'd say it's going to be like 40 to 80% cheaper. But it uses a combination of fuel and fuel cell. I'm doubtful. The power needed, number one, to get off the ground and maintain cruise at altitude requires a significant amount of energy. So I just don't see how you can get enough batteries and overcome the weight issue to, of course, fuel weighs a lot, but then again, maybe they're going to put the batteries in the wings. I don't know. But batteries, I would think, would be more dense and heavier than fuel. So we'll see what Zunum comes up with. But both Boeing and JetBlue have invested in them. How many of you have ever been to the iFixit.com website? Have you ever downloaded a manual on how to fix something? Your washing machine, your cell phone, a printer, fax machine, figured out how to clear a jam? Well, I was pretty shocked. The iFixit site has 25,000 manuals that they give away free, but yet this company has been able to do like $23 million in revenue, $21 million in sales in 2016. He says, we give a whole lot for free, and then a fraction of people give them money. And I don't exactly understand the model on how they do this, if it's a donation model or whatever, but they say over 90,000 people have, or is it 900,000 people? I think 900,000 people last year, took advantage of their content. But this company's big. It's got 125 employees, and it's growing 30% year over year. That's amazing growth. So congratulations to the iFixit team. And so tools, all kinds of different stuff that they're I guess that's what they're selling. They're selling tools and kits and all kinds of stuff. They're very cool for iFixit. And this is an article over on Inc.com. Always like nice to see a successful company. Of course, the Chinese summit is going on down in Key Largo, the second White House. And a news story is coming out of the Register talking about evidence of Chinese spying is uncovered on the eve of the summit. Evidence of Chinese cyber espionage against the U.S. has been uncovered on the Scanbox malware used by the nation state associated with or sponsored by the Chinese government has been discovered on the webpages on the U.S. National Foreign Trade Council website. I don't know if that's a government agency or if that's a... privately formed organization, but the possible cyber espionage was found ahead of the Trump meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, taking place basically today and tomorrow. Items on the agenda are likely to include, of course, North Korea and what's going on in Syria and so forth. But they're apparently violating what they said they wouldn't do. It's kind of funny. Do you really think the Chinese are going to stop hacking? Do you really believe that? No, I don't think anyone did for a second. Xfinity Mobile. Comcast has a new wireless service, and the folks over at Gizmodo said it feels like a trick. The service will launch May or June for Xfinity customers, and later this year for everyone else on unlimited plans. Start at $65 per month. Runs on for Verizon's 4G LTE network, and gets even cheaper if you buy cable service through Comcast. Comcast is all selling pay-as-you-go plan that starts at $12 a month for for 1 gig of data. There are some catches. If you buy a $65 a month, that's for a single line with unlimited everything. Same type of plan at Verizon will cost you $80 a month, though you can get Verizon service for as low as $55 a month if you're okay only using 2 gigs of data. AT&T's unlimited plan start at $90. Xfinity's offers buy the gig option. It charges you $12 for each gig. So you can buy the gig if you want to. Xfinity Mobile deal quickly becomes less of a deal if you want to add more lines, because Comcast isn't offering discount on those lines. If you want two phones, it'll cost you $130. So, but you will get unlimited. If that's the case, that might be a good price for you. I have to take exception to an article I saw today. And it was one by Gizmodo. And I don't know why I had so many Gizmodo articles today, but they had, maybe three or four in the lineup. But here's their title. Our 5 billion satellite spy agency can't even hire a language interpreter because of the Trump's hiring freeze. Does anyone really think that the government has too few employees? they are saying below is a complete list of the 81 positions that were available over at the NGA. 81? How many people work at NGA? It can, you know, anyone want to care to send me over that total? And they've got 81 open positions at NGA because of the hiring freeze? Is that such a big deal? I'm sure that's a huge agency. Here's some of the positions that are not filled. Contract specialist, 17. Business analytics officer, 13. Career service specialist, I don't even know what that is, 6. Knowledge curator, 5. Did you guys know there's a job where you can be a knowledge curator? Executive officer, 3. Why do you need 3 executive officers? Information management officer, you need 3. HR specialist, need 3. Instructional system designer, 3. Data management specialist, 2. Staff officer, business administration, 2. IT audit specialist, 2. HR specialist, information systems, 2. Imagery analysis instructor, 2. And it just goes on. Inspector, ombudsman, police officer, policy officer, HR specialist, drug program coordinator, sign language interpreter, EEO diversity associate, instructor GON, instructor geospatial, instructor source, manpower and force management, 11111. And what is NGA got? 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people working for it? You know, come on. Some of this government growth has to stop someplace, right? But the trick is, though, and what these groups normally do is they convert those government service jobs to contractor jobs, and those contractor jobs end up costing the taxpayers more money than what the government employee would have cost. That's a little dirty secret that they often don't tell. Apple iPad review, not the iPad Pro, the Apple iPad that's being released is a pretty nice little iPad, but it's available for $329, and it's a little thicker. It's got a beautiful screen, and it's not as fancy as the Apple Pro line, but it's an iPad that makes sense, and it's really nice. I think this is smart. So, you know, this is a little bit cheaper way to get into the iPad if you don't need something like super powerful. If you're doing email and surfing the web, you don't need to spend $1,000 for it. I found a pretty cool video that was shot by a Mavic. And, you know, these videos where folks get to shoot in big open spaces. Specifically, this is a video that's shot down in Africa, in South Africa. It's stunning. Stunning image. Stunning. It's a stunning video. And shot, you would think that they were in a helicopter with a incredibly, you guys were watching on video, did you guys see that, whatever that was, fly at me? But this Mavic did an incredible job. And of course, they didn't have the 400 feet of height flight restrictions either. But this video looks like it's done on a professional camera. I'm just going to have the link up in the show notes. You're going to have to watch. It's about a 4-minute video. Really well done. And I'm jealous of people being able to fly in these big open spaces like this and shoot video that's just simply incredible. Did talk a little bit earlier in the show about the iMac Pro. I do have an article talking about the iMac specs. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. You can look at that to get a detail on that. Also, if any of you using the Apple Clips app, the folks over at Verge did a little demo on it. So if you're wanting a quick iMovie type of video editor for your iPhone, the Apple Clips app is getting some pretty good reviews. Also, for those of you that are big-time gamers out there, NVIDIA's Beastly Titan XP is still the performance crown from the GTX 1080 Ti. So going to be available about $700. $1,200, not $700. So those of you that are looking for the ultimate video card, the NVIDIA Titan XP. All right. Couple of articles here that proved to be interesting today is that 23andMe, remember we talked about them, the FDA shut them down from doing home DNA tests. So the genetic testing company 23andMe can now tell its customers if they have genes linked to 10 diseases or medical conditions, including onset Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, celiac disease, without a doctor's involvement. The company's DNA analysis service is the first direct-to-consumer test to receive approval from the U.S. Drug and Food Administration. Decision can make it easier for similar direct-to-consumer DNA testing service to enter the market. What does this cost? I'm going to have to find out what this costs. I may order one of these and just try it. Kind of scary, yeah? To find out if you've got early onset Alzheimer's or got the genetic markers for it. But probably earlier the better to plan for your future, right? So 23andMe has been cleared by the FDA. That's going to be a huge, huge boost to that company. Those of you like Showtime, they've added offline download to its mobile app. So you can download videos from its streaming catalog, watch offline, including episodes like Homeland, Billions, Dexter, and Shameless. So that's on the iOS and Android apps available today. There's also a pretty cool article. Well, not cool. This is going to be sad for some of you. YouTube will no longer allow creators to make money until they reach 10,000 views on their videos. So no money for any of you that have less than 10,000 views. I think this show, what did my YouTube channel have? 176,000, not that many. And I don't make, what have I made on YouTube? let's put it this way, they've never sent me a check, so that's saying anything. But yeah, if you don't have 10,000 lifetime views on your channel, you cannot make money as of today. So I don't know if that is going to be retroactive or what, but they're trying to weed out bad actors. They're stealing videos and so forth. So I haven't seen the response. You know, we didn't talk about the beginning of the show. I need to talk about this. So there was some stuff that happened on YouTube with some of the YouTube producers that are now there in an absolute meltdown panic. A bunch of advertisers pulled advertising revenue from YouTube, largely because their advertising was being seen on some content that the companies did not want their brand associated with, and they took millions of dollars out of the YouTube advertising pipeline. They haven't redirected it into podcasting. But so what now I'm seeing, and I've seen at least a dozen really big YouTubers that are, number one, they are absolutely furious at Wall Street Journal because Wall Street Journal has caused them to lose revenue. Number two, they're in absolute utter panic. They're saying, oh, don't worry, we're going to be okay, we're going to be okay. But at the same time, you can tell they're absolutely freaked out. So anytime you or me, or you and I, the more correct way to say it, are creating content and we're putting it on someone else's platform and they are in control of the revenue that's coming back to you, and it is your sole source of income, shame on you. Now, I understand the risk. This show, for many, many years, has been sponsored by GoDaddy. They've been very good to me. Very, very. I keep the lights on. I keep my family fed. I keep gas in the car. I pay my insurance. Make my house note. Okay, they've been very, very good to me, but I am under no false pretense that they could come and say, okay, we've changed. We're changing our model. It's kind of scary to me to think that that could happen someday, and it could. But as long as I continue to deliver them a new customers, and meet my numbers, my hope is that they'll be happy and continue to sponsor this show. In preparation that someday they may not be here, and again, I'm not saying that's the case at all, this is why we started the Insider Program. Value for value. If you feel the show's valuable, contribute to $6, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month at geeknesscentral.com/insider. If you find the show valuable, and we appreciate every one of you that is on the automated payment plan that pay in every month, I am absolutely indebted to all of you that do that. That revenue has grown over time. But if GoDaddy went bye-bye today, there would be some things that would have to change. First and foremost, the writers, I would have to scale way back. Immediately, I'd have to scale way back, which would mean I would have to start writing again. I'd have to go out and find another sponsor, an underwriter. I'd have to go to you guys and ask for more contributions. It would be stressful, but I also understand that can happen. At any time, that can occur. And because there's, you know, been a few times they've changed my agreement up, and it's always been, you know, I've been a little scared to make that change. We've made the change. It's worked out. You know, we're still here. And but when I see these YouTubers, they have no other fallback. And they're used to, and excuse my French, they're used to sucking at the money tit. Some of these big folks that come in, and that's, you know, that's, I think that's a, I don't know, that's some slang word I learned when I was a kid or something, I don't know. But they've been at the trough feeding from this, you know, this supply of money that's coming in for the advertisers that are advertising in these YouTube clips for these big megastar YouTube folks. And they're probably the checks that they're, some of these folks are getting. They might be $1 million a month. Some of the folks are not doing that well. They might be getting $10,000 a month or $5,000 a month. But when they have quit their day jobs and they're relying on that to make, and that's their sole source of income, sure, they might be doing some merchandising deals. Of course, they're going to be in a panic when the advertising dollars are. But I think it's a good wake-up call for YouTubers to understand that things can change and you need to be prepared for when they do. So time will tell what happens here with that. I'm sure the advertisers will come back. But I think this is, you know, I hate to see anybody go through financial hardship. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I also understand that where the ground truth is in this. Having done this, creating a podcast for 12 years, I understand that things could change that quick. It really, really could. And nary I wanted to, but if it does, you know, we're going to have to get back to grindstone. And I'm very blessed that we've had a sponsor for this long. You know, there's no other podcast that can say that they've had a sponsor since 2005. No one. There's no one in the space that can say that. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. And I'm really long tonight, so I'm going to cut some stuff out as we get to the end. Dietary fats make worms live almost 50% longer. No human results yet. That just sounds gross. And dietary fats, I guess someone's going to have to explain to me what the difference is, but if you're eating something with a lot of dietary fats, I didn't even know there was such a thing. anyway, the link will be up in the show notes. Hey, Lyft has raised another $500 million funding, now valued at $7.5 billion. There's also been a rash of wild attacks permanently destroying poorly secured Internet of Things devices. So I have a link up to that article. And the last couple of things here. Well, let me skip this one. I'll skip that one too. I'm cutting the show down here because I'm long. Oh, there was a UFO spotted in a SpaceX feed. So I haven't watched this video yet, but a strange series of events surrounding an anomaly seen during a live feed has raised suspicion among some UFO enthusiasts. The broadcast in question occurred during the private space company's successful launch of a reused Falcon 9. So, they only got a brief glimpse before they switched it off. So, someone saw something they weren't supposed to. Dun, dun, dun. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Also, conservation biologists studying scavenger animals in Utah were shocked. There was a dead cow and badgers dug a hole around the cow and buried it. They spent 5 days burying this cow, and then they constructed a underground home and proceeded to consume the cow over the next 11 days. It sounds pretty disgusting, but it gives some new insight into the animal's method for both attaining and retaining such a massive amount of food. I don't know how many badgers that were involved in this, but there's a video. I haven't watched it, but it sounds kind of gross. Probably is. But, man, ingenious. And also, I don't know if we reported this already, but an annual report on Canadian UFOs have been released. So if you want to read that, that's available online. I have it linked up in the show notes. Don't think we had any comments coming on today's show. Let me double check that real quick. And then I'm going to get you guys out of here. Thanks for letting me go along and being patient with you. Oh, I got an email from Henry, and he says, "Hey, Todd," and I felt really stupid here. He says, "The magazine you're referring to was 2600. Yes, duh. Thanks, Henry. It was the frequency of the whistle that Draper used to get free calls. Yep, I knew that. Also, I missed the old intro to your podcast, the modern sound, and you're listening to Todd. It's a classic." Now, Henry, the reason we're doing this is the first 2 minutes of the show is now being shared as a sample on Facebook. And if I play the intro, it goes 36 seconds. And what we find and what I found is that new listeners often will bounce before the intro's over. So I've seen larger show growth since we stopped using the intro. I love the intro too. So I promise I will play it from time to time just to give you guys a little taste, and we'll get the music going and jazz it up. So I agree too, Henry. But thank you for the information on 2600. Also, I was asked, why don't you try to get Captain Crunch to interview him? So I won't do it as part of your Podcast Legends show, and that wasn't the person of Podcast Legends, but I would love to get him on, and I'll see what I can do about getting an interview with him. And I think there's a lot of these folks that were involved in the early days of the internet and were hackers and stuff, that there's some great stories there. So there's a huge potential for a podcast. So good sparking idea by one of our listeners. Also got an email from Jim. He said, "Hey, Todd, I love the show." He said, "I quit drinking Red Bull when I found Zip Fizz. And Jim, I've only drank one Red Bull in like maybe the last 3 months. The stuff is great. All the vitamins, natural, no sugar, and a little caffeine from green tea. And green tea is supposed to be good for us. That's true. The Japanese drink the heck out of it. And we have a green tea in the refrigerator every day. Antioxidants and all that stuff. I get a box of 30 at Costco for about $1 each shot. That's a $30 box. But you can individual ones at the vitamin shop for about $1.80. I don't think we have a vitamin shop here. You need to drink the whole shot to get the best effect rather than sipping it over time. If I have your address, I would send you some to try out. I'm not associated with Zip Fizz Company, just a big fan of your show. Cheers, Jim in San Francisco." So, Jim, I'm going to look if the local Costco has it. If it doesn't, if it does, I'll buy a case. As I told you, I've been using the Melaleuca Energy Shots. And so far, really good experience. But I'm going to tell you one side effect that I'm noticing with these energy drinks, whether it be Red Bull, whether it be from another major brand that's similar to Melaleuca or the Melaleuca Energy Shots, I can have perfectly good sinuses all day, And when I drink one of those energy shots, I get a little bit of a runny nose. So I don't know if that's a little reaction to some chemical that's in there, if that's caffeine. Maybe there was a doctor listening. They can tell me why that's happening. But be fine all day, drink one of those energy shots, and next thing I know, I got a little bit of a runny nose. And it's just happens like clockwork. About 20 minutes after I stop the show, you know, I'm needing a Kleenex or most of the time using the back of my hand. I know that's disgusting, but anyway, we are like incredibly long tonight. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for the comments. Keep firing them. I love you guys when you guys email me. This is the way, this is how I get charged up, when you guys email the show. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me what you hate, what you love, what's pissing you off. You know, what do you want me to hear that you're encountering on tech? All right? Let's get engaged, folks. Wake up. Come on. Drop me an email. And again, both Jim and Henry, thank you for being Ohana. And hey, our mysterious person that sent me a bottle of liquor. Oh, man. You're the dude. You know, be honest with you, the Macallan 18, I've had it twice. Wow. That's good. We'll see what the Belveni 17 is. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on Monday here on Geek News Central. If you want to hang out with me more, come on Tuesday or Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We'll be talking everything about podcasting for 90 minutes on the New Media Show. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you here on the Geekness Central Podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.